recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, solid, right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great this morning, Earl. How are you?
Hey, man. It's March 1st, man. And so, yes, I'm doing absolutely spectacular, man. The average temperature in March is 48 degrees, man. So, you know, we're out of February, man.
Definitely glad to be out of February, especially after how it ended.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's going to be 50 degrees today, man. 50 degrees. I mean, I know it's fool's gold, but you just take it one day at a time, man. I mean, man, the sun's not out right now, but when it comes out, it's 50 degrees. Any snow that's left is going to have to, you know, head out. And, you know, it's going to be coming right back from what I understand. In the next day or two, we'll get a little snow. But we know it won't stick around long when the average temperature is 48 degrees. And I can almost smell the spring, man. I really can.
I'm looking forward to the spring.
Yeah, man. It's time. I'm ready. I was watching preseason baseball yesterday, man, in Arizona. And when preseason baseball starts, it's not long, man. It's not long before we'll have an opportunity, man, to spend some time outside. I feel like a caged animal, man. I need to be outside. I got to get out and enjoy the nice weather. But anyway, got a lot to talk about today. It's Wednesday. That means at 9 o'clock, the champ herself, the Dawn of Resistance, Maggie Dawn, will be joining us. And at 10 o'clock, we'll be joined as always by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. But I wanted to begin the show by talking about China. And you probably say, that's all you ever talk about. You and Sandy, that's all you ever talk about. But there's a bipartisan China committee that Republicans and Democrats have agreed on to talk about the existential threat of China to America and to the world. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What are we doing? What are they planning? Why is it that those congressmen and senators are planning on creating, you know, this existential threat of China to the United States? I mean, I was reading about, well, they're building up their military. What are you talking about? Our military dwarfs their military. Why would we start talking so foolishly and, to me, haphazardly and creating this environment that is going to lead down the road to pain for the American people? And even if it's not the pain of a war, it's going to be the pain of the financial resources of this nation, even more of it being sucked away from the people into the military budget. You know, I've been around just long enough, going back to 1978. How was I in 78? 18, I was 26 years old in 1978. And I was working in the auto industry. And that's when our government, the business leaders of our government, supported by our government, agreed and created legislation that made it possible for the business leaders of this nation to take the jobs out of this country and send them to China. China wasn't considered a threat to us then. As American citizens, we really need to think about what is happening and why. And so if now all of a sudden China's this major threat, how did they get there? They weren't that in 1978. Where did the financial resources come from for them to be that? Well, they took them from you and I, the business community, and our elected officials on a national level took the jobs, the middle class jobs, out of this country. And the American people, the American middle class, has never recovered. And they took the jobs to China and made record profits by selling out the American people and our families. And now here's this argument that we need to be concerned. They're an existential threat to us, the American people. That their economy is somehow going to overtake our economy, as if that's going to happen tomorrow. The projections say 2060 before eventually China's economy overtakes America's. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. But is that a threat that means we need to increase military spending and then create this threat that China is somehow going to create an environment where we now must be looking over our shoulders as if China is coming? No, that's not the case. But this is being built up to lead you and I down a path that will terrify us and scare us that China's coming to get us. I've seen our nation create this many times over. And at some point in time, the American people have to become educated enough to push back. Because all that's being set up now is for the military-industrial complex to receive even more dollars at a time when the average American person and their families continue to struggle and suffer. And if we're going to remain silent about this and not push back on this, you know, then we're going to get what we deserve. Yeah, you can say, well, Earl, are you anti-American? No, hell no, I'm not anti-American. What I am anti is when people who are in this country who take advantage of the American people, in which I happen to be one, along with my family, and I see what they're doing, and I see where we're headed. And if everything you see, a bipartisan, you can't get Democrats and Republicans to agree on anything. But yet in this instance, we have to create this environment that the Chinese are somehow looking to overtake America and they're looking to rule the world. What are you talking about? They're looking to rule the world. Who's been ruling the world other than us? At some point in time, let's give up the ghosts. We don't have to rule the world. Why is it so important that the United States rules the world? And if somebody else decides that, you know, they are in a position that we may not be anymore, this nation can't afford to continue down the path that it has been going over the last 100 years or 80 years. We can't. So we need to do all we can to make sure that there's a future for our children and our children's children. That should be the goal of this nation, to no longer control what happens globally. You can't afford to do it anymore. You know, and so who's going to have the courage to step forward? And I don't think anybody politically is going to be able to do that. There's nobody politically who has the courage to say those things. And that's why I call it politics. Because these are the things they should be talking about. These are the things that you and I should be talking about. Not the fact that they're looking to stop China from somehow controlling the world. We've done it for quite a while now. We just cannot afford to do it anymore. I mean, you know, militarily, we're going to always be in a position, unfortunately, to attempt to control the world if through no other reason or way other than might. And that is the purpose of our military budget being what it is and everything else coming in second. But the sheer thought that we, the United States of America, needs to start creating a plan to deal with China is madness. 844-967-2789 is the number. You know, you don't have to agree with me, but I know what I'm saying is true. If it's not 844-967-2789, I'll take you on. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to be the winner because I got facts on my side. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Since I saw you, tell me, girl, how long has it been? I'm so glad to see you, 'cause I really love you. You are my only friend. You for me.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I mean, here's a bipartisan commission. Democrats and Republicans that met on yesterday. House Republicans and Democrats on the new Select China Committee held their first hearing Tuesday night, vowing to investigate the numerous technological, economic, and military threats from the Chinese Communist Party. Members used the primetime hearing as a sort of introduction to the Chinese government for an American audience who may not follow the issues closely, highlighting the broad scope of Chinese influence and the avenues the committee may go down as it seeks ways to make the U.S. more competitive. Now, so we need to be more competitive with China. We do. Well, how come in 1978 we took our jobs overseas for cheaper labor and China was able to take advantage of the fact that pilot tricksters like these today made it possible, created the laws that allowed those corporations to leave cities and Midwestern states who suffer even to this day. And now all of a sudden we're alarmed. Well, they've grown too big and too strong and too powerful. Who made it possible? We did. We did. By, again, destroying the middle class in this country for profit. And now that profit has the fact that those corporations in China have certainly become very profitable. A lot of money was made. China benefited without question. And now here we are. We're concerned about China's economy that's going to outstripe ours eventually. Like I said, not until 2060, based on what is the economists are saying. But still, got to get used to that. That's going to happen. But to all of a sudden vilify, the PACT hearing came amid escalating tensions with Beijing for days. The nation was captivated by a Chinese spy balloon that floated over Alaska and the U.S. before it was shot down off South Carolina. And this week, the Energy Department concluded in a classified report, shared with the lawmakers, that the COVID-19 pandemic likely was spread through a laboratory leak in Wuhan, China. FBI Director Christopher Wray said much the same thing in a Fox News interview that aired moments before the hearing. Okay. Let's say those things did occur. And is that a reason that we start preparing ourselves for some cold war with China? No, the answer is absolutely not. It makes no sense. Listen to this. Okay, so why are we so hell-bent on what's happening with China? China will overtake the U.S. as a superpower. For one thing, assuming the U.S. grows at 1.5% with similar rates of inflation and a stable exchange rate, China would not overtake America as the world's largest economy until 2060, if ever. Growth in the long term depends on more workers using more capital and using it more efficiently, productively. So what would happen if the U.S. stopped trading with China? If the U.S. is forced to sell half of its direct investments in China, that would cost American investors $25 billion a year in capital gains and up to $500 million in GDP losses. The report said U.S. business risks losing global competitiveness if sweeping policies force separation from China, the report said. In other words, we are joined at the hip with China economically. How do you separate? Got to go to a break. Dave, I see you. 844-967-2789 is the number. We created the Frankenstein monster. The United States, the business community, and pilot tricksters. That's who created that monster. And now you got to face that monster. The question is how? Be right back.
Won't you? everybody works out of their own bag. Can you understand that? I can understand that. Whoa, whoa.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So there's a bipartisan committee that has been created in Congress to address the existential threat of China to the United States. And I'm questioning that threat. Because as I stated at the beginning of this, conversation, as I remember, you know, back in 1978 when we first started shipping manufacturing to China for cheap labor. Let me do this, Dave, before I come to you quickly. Is China a threat to the United States of America? The counterintelligence and economic espionage efforts emanating from the government of China and the Chinese Communist Party are a grave threat to the economic well-being and democratic values of the United States. Confronting this threat, is the FBI's top counterintelligence priority. Number two, what countries does the United States owe money to? Japan is the largest holder with about $1.2 trillion in treasury securities. Behind Japan, the four countries with the largest U.S. debt holding are China, $967 billion, the U.K., $615 billion, Luxembourg, $306 billion, and the Cayman Islands, $300 billion. Dave, you say what? Good morning.
Unfortunately, China, I try to read the Chinese media as much as possible because I think our media does a horrendous job actually kind of pushing with what's going on here with China. But China has made it very clear, and they are ready to go to war with us.
Oh, come on, Dave. Come on.
Because of the whole situation with, Taiwan.
Come on, Dave.
And people don't... No, I'm saying, listen...
Come on, Dave. Come on, man.
I'm serious, Earl.
Hey, Dave.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying before you cut me off. I haven't even made my point here. They have made it very clear that 2025 is when you're going to see everything on the table as far as an actual war with China. And the reason being because, and people don't realize this, we spent the money on the semiconductor scenario that brings semiconductors here to the United States because a good majority of it is built in Taiwan. Why are we spending all this money to build semiconductors in the United States, Earl? Because China wants to take over Taiwan. And at the end of the day, what's going to end up happening is if there's a disruption with that, there's going to be, unfortunately, Japan has made it clear. Australia has made it very clear. There will be a huge war. We are talking World War III. I'm not kidding.
Oh, come on.
The military of China, if you look at how many boats, they have one shipping yard. We have four shipping yards in the United States that makes military boats. Four. We could take some private ones and make those in the military. China's got 13. The only thing that we outdo them on the Navy-wise is we have 11 aircraft carriers. They only have three. But that being said, their size of their force is 340 boats to our 270.
Come
on,
Dave. They
have many more boats, and they're building more.
Come on, Dave.
They're building a lot more. They're producing the solar panels that we're buying. We're buying it from China. We're giving our money to the Chinese right now.
The Chinese are not looking to get involved in a war with the United States of America.
Yes, they are. If you have to read what the Chinese media has been pushing, what they're showing.
What I know.
Clear, they're going to come to, they have made it very clear, 2025, they're going to start a war with us. Their military
that's
has
ridiculous,
very
Dave.
Clearly, you know, that's not ridiculous.
And so,
I am telling you, if you read, if you go to, I use for, to actually, it's a Google.
Hey Dave, the United States is the most powerful military on the planet. And 2 years from now, that's not going to change. I don't care what you read anywhere else, because we are still continuing to spend five times as much money as China does each year on military expenditures. And so you can say that all of a sudden, 2 years from now, China's ready to go to war with the United States is not true. And so as long as that kind of thought process is out there, misleading people to believe that the most powerful nation on earth and the reason we continue to spend almost $1 trillion a year on military armament is just for that reason.
Wake up, my friend. If you read what China is doing and saying and what they have broadcast over there, and you look at what they're doing ramping up, they have way more soldiers than we do.
It doesn't
they
matter.
They have a much larger navy than we do.
Hey, Dave.
The only thing that they're a little behind on is their Air Force does not compete with our Air Force.
Do you think we're going to be fighting a ground war with China if it ever came to that? And the United States knowing how outmanned we are? Absolutely not. There's not going to be any ground war with China. So we can talk about how many people they have. It doesn't matter. We have the weaponry that will liquidate them. And don't think that the United States wouldn't do it. That's war. Come on, man.
Do not, Earl. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That is the reason why things are ratcheting up. Why do you think we're sending more military personnel to Taiwan as we speak?
Hey, Dave.
They're doing it right now. Biden actually sent more military people to, and
I understand
and
that.
To send
just
more
okay,
arms to Taiwan.
But the point is the fact that our country dares to put men and women of this country in harm's way to protect Taiwan is absolutely ridiculous. To involve the American people in what could possibly be a war, which is not going to happen, with China. It's absolutely ridiculous. The American people have nothing to do with that.
Is ready to go to war with us.
Oh, okay.
They're ramping up.
Hey, Dave. Man, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. You know, I don't understand this. We've got to protect Taiwan. You know, who in this listening audience is willing to send their sons and daughters to Taiwan? To send their sons and daughters to Taiwan for what? And China's not in any position to take on the United States when it comes to the military. And as I said from the beginning, you know, who created the environment where China's able to do what they're doing other than American businesses who took those jobs overseas for profit? Hey, Dan, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call.
Morning, Earl. I absolutely agree with you. This is just crazy that people are talking about war with China.
Yes, it's crazy. And he put a date on it, 2025, 2 years from now.
That is just beyond common sense. I mean, China needs us probably more than we need them at this point. Their entire real estate market is on the verge of collapse because they're in China. They have to pay for their houses in advance. So somebody's money is building somebody else's house, and your house might not get built for another year or two, or as an example. But as you stated correctly, had the United States businesses not shipped all their stuff overseas, you know what? We wouldn't be in any kind of mess with China or disagreement whatsoever, and we could keep our nose out of their business. COVID is still running rampant all over China. You know, I mean, come on. Let's be realistic here. So, they need the entire world more than they need us right now.
You know,
their
Dan,
manufacturing is way down.
You know, Dan, what is amazing to me is that Dave's a bright guy, but to send this scare tactic out to the American people that somehow in 2 years China is going to be ready to go to war with America. The last time I checked, you know, Dan, we've got the most updated nuclear arsenal in the entire world. The only entity that has any more nuclear weapons than us is Russia, but they're outdated, many of their weapons. So to somehow lead people to believe that China is ready to go to war with the United States government is untrue.
And I think it's absolutely untrue. And I don't know what it is about Americans. We are so short-sighted that we always need some invisible enemy, regardless of it's China or somebody else, an American. It doesn't matter.
Iran.
We always have to have a boogeyman.
Yes, Iran, you know, Iraq. You know, it's always somebody. But to somehow lead people to believe that this is imminent, and it's going to happen. And so, again, we've got to spend more money on the military. Look, they just got through cutting back on food share for many in this country at a time when people are struggling to eat properly.
Exactly.
And here we are. We've got people who are really ready to spend more money militarily. You just heard the SNAP programs. They're cutting back. $80 on people who can't afford to eat, and we're going to ramp up spending more money on the military. What is wrong with people in this country?
I don't know. I guess they want the Catholic Church to take care of everybody. I don't know.
Hey, thank you. Hey, Dan, man, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Hey, Tom, what's going on, man? What is happening, man?
Earl, first off, we the people ultimately are the government.
The Chinese are coming. The Chinese are coming. Come on,
man. Oh, my God. Saber rattling all the time. I'll tell you what. I just have such suspicion sometimes because I remember years ago before 9/11 happened, there was this deal in Congress where they were going to cut military funding and stuff like that because we really didn't have any threats and all of these different things. And all of a sudden 9/11 happens and, you know, all of a sudden military industrial complex gets boosted up more than ever. It's just craziness. And I think Dave might be listening to Fox News because we already know that they're liars. And I mean, Tucker Carlson said, I think in November, I don't even watch him, but I saw it on Twitter, but that diesel was going to be gone by November 23rd and we'll never have diesel again. They are so good at just, why is it fear? Why always fear with these people? Why don't they say, you know what? Let's give the money to the people that pay
because the American people. Because the American people want to believe. And listen, I get it. We want to be in charge.
They are so bored. They are so bored with their lives. It has to be. They have to be so bored with their lives. This is one of the reasons why we need a wealth tax in this country also, because people find things that are way out of bounds of even human, you know, everyday thinking. And all they're doing is scaring people.
Well, yeah, man. So both Democrats and Republicans have sat down and they've said, China is an existential threat. And so we're going to talk about it. We're going to put it out in the public. And now we get Dave. Well, by 2025, China's going to go to war with us. Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. All right. I got you, man. Listen, Tom, we got to go to a break, man. Thank you very much for the call. Be right back. 844-967-2789. The champ is here. So we're going to bring her in a little earlier. And we'll be right back. What's going on? All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. The champ is here. The champ is here. Hey, Maggie, what's going on? You know, the corporate counsel herself, the dawn of resistance herself, Maggie Dawn, has joined in the fray. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Earl, I'm really good. I love your John Lewis T-shirt.
Oh, well, thank you.
That is awesome. I love the younger pictures of him and his mug shots.
Yeah.
Pretty powerful stuff.
Well, thank you. When I saw it, I said, I have to have it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's unique.
It is.
Because I don't see him too many other places.
You don't see too many politicians on T-shirts, you know what I'm saying?
Right. But, Maggie, you know, I was talking about
China.
The fact
yes, let's turn that, to China.
Yeah, that Democrats and Republicans have created this panel. And they're going to address...
Predominantly Republicans.
Yes.
Predominantly Trump Republicans.
Right. And they somehow feel that China is an existential threat to the United States, and we had better worry about this. And none of this was happening before the balloon floated.
Right.
So
all right. First of all, let's understand what existential means. When you use the word existential... It means that it has the potential to effectively end the United States in the way that we understand it. That's what existential means. So how would that happen? Like, what is an existential threat? Typically, when you're talking about foreign policy, this is meant in one of two ways. One is nuclear or chemical warfare, such that a country is physically incapacitated, its people are killed at such a scale that it collapses the government. China's military budget is a tiny fraction of ours, even if we never add a penny for the next 10 years. Okay, they do not have the ability to compete. More on that in a minute, but let's stick with the concept of existential. The second way that there can be an existential threat is if there is such pervasive economic and technical domination, and I mean technological domination, that a country becomes so impoverished that from the inside it collapses and its government collapses. Again, that's not happening here. More on both of those concepts in a minute. By the way, the quick answer to that is that China's economy is inextricably and forever intertwined with ours to such an extent that it's not in China's self-interest to pursue either direct warfare with the United States at such a level that would pose a threat to our entire country, or to so economically challenge the United States that it would threaten to collapse our entire economy and therefore our government. Pause. All right. Now we understand what existential is. You understand what my punchline is. I'm not saying that China doesn't engage in corporate espionage, hacking, all sorts of violations of different trade agreements, those sorts of things. Yes. Do we need to have a fairly aggressive foreign policy stance towards China? Yes. But this rhetorical, hysterical language coming from the right is nothing but political opportunism. Okay, that's what this is about. It's an effort to paint Joe Biden as weak. And it's an effort, I think, within the old guard of the GOP to actually elevate Mike Pompeo as a potential presidential candidate. Because remember, when Mike Pompeo was in his role in the Trump administration, he had a very, very hawkish stance towards China. I just want to read a little bit from Foreign Policy Magazine, right? And I want to talk about existential threat number two, because I think anybody that's talking about or suggesting that China would engage in direct warfare with the United States is smoking some really good ganja, and I would like some of that. So let's deal with hypothetical existential threat number two, which is it poses such a technological and economic threat that it ends up collapsing our entire government. This is Foreign Policy Magazine. China attaining a level of total superiority over both economic and technological levers of influence globally and as to the United States perhaps combined with a successful military blocking of U.S. sea lines of communication or trade lines, okay, that would so impoverish the United States as to threaten its existence as a stable and prosperous democracy and bring it under Chinese control. That's the theory. Presumably, the specific basis of such leverage would consist of near absolute global Chinese dominance over both trade and investment relations, as well as supply chains with the United States and other countries, and all over and over all the key technologies driving future growth and military capabilities. This is sort of what Dave was talking right. about before. This is what you tend to hear. Here's Foreign Policy Magazine. It is virtually inconceivable that China could achieve such a level of dominance over the United States. The United States possesses abundant energy, human, technological, and other resources, a huge and dynamic domestic market, enormous levels of accumulated wealth and capital stocks, and it has the globe's sole financial reserve currency. When you were talking about who holds a lot of treasuries,
right.
Cayman Islands, yeah, that's because all sorts of people buy treasuries because it is the one reserve currency in the country. That will never happen with the Chinese yuan, okay? FP continues. Foreign policy continues. In contrast, while China boasts a highly entrepreneurial and dynamic workforce, it labors under major structural and political constraints such as insufficient arable land, a rapidly aging society, heavy reliance on energy imports, and stifling ideological and state-centered controls across society. Beijing has certainly used its economic leverage and market access to pressure foreign companies and governments to support Chinese policies or stop what it regards as unacceptable behavior regarding Taiwan. While such economic coercion is by no means unique to China, it certainly can erode freedom of speech, but it will never threaten democracy's core
principles.
All right,
we've got to go to a break. I see you, CJ, 844-967-2788.
Oh, for crying out loud.
We got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
I'm going to use the restroom.
All right.